There was an energy around everybody that we were walking with. And in and amongst all the worry and the concern of the pandemic, it almost felt very secondary. And it was like we were momentarily taken out of our individual bubbles that we've been living in intensely because of the pandemic. I looked around again. I saw the power of history and the immediacy of history. We make history every single day. We made so much history this year alone. And that kind of built a whole internal fire for me to kind of keep trying to make this history, keep trying to push my platform to help push others towards the right path. Because I know and I learned from that day that I am not the only one doing it. I'm Kelvin Quay Green. I am a comms manager and content creator at an education charity called Football Beyond Borders. I also am a part-time presenter. I've presented on a range of different platforms such as Copper 90 and Amazon Prime. And in my free time, yeah, I guess I'm just a bit of a activist.
Welcome to Create Change, a brand new podcast powered by Transmission Roundhouse. In the first episode of this series, you'll hear the story that inspired this podcast. It's all about how art from protests can take on a life of its own, historicising events and sparking important conversations. It's also a testament to what can happen when we come together as creatives and collaborate. So without further ado, here's Kelvin's story.
I went to the first initial protest that were marching towards the US embassy. And it was a real moment of activism in the sense that you always hear about protests in your parents' stories or in your auntie, uncle stories. And you always think, well, what was it like to actually be there? What does history look like? What does making history look like? And I very much felt like these protests were an opportunity for us to make history within our own generation, for us to really stamp our mark on what we want to see society looking like for our future generation. And a big statement that, you know, we're tired of tolerating this nonsense going on in society still. We're tired of being told that things are going to change and then seeing them become more and more entrenched. We're not just here to listen to people tell us, oh, don't worry, things will get better, and then systematic forms of racism get more and more ingrained. I think it was very much a protest targeting the most silent racism that goes on in our society and our communities. I think people saw a real energy that wasn't just US-led, that wasn't just Black British. People around the world were connecting at the same time, using that opportunity to kind of stand out, step out and speak out. I remember really, really powerfully, there was this group of older protesters and they looked back and a few of them were in tears. And I remember asking them, like, why are you upset? What's wrong? This is powerful. This is our time. This is our piece of history. And they said that for all of their lives and everything that they've known, people take history for granted. We always look back at previous textbooks and precedents for answers. This year, above all other years, there have been no answers. There have been nothing to look back on. There's been no excuse to kind of find, you know, a common source of practice that we learned from the previous generation. This is fresh history being made. And I'm going to mark this day for the rest of my life. And she said, you make sure you mark this day for the rest of your life because it can help change what the future looks like for the next generation. This was my kind of first real experience of a protest that I felt deeply connected to. I'd been to protests in the past, for example, like the Iraq War protests. I remember being really, really young and being taken down there and seeing that. But as much as I was like wowed by the amount of people that showed up then, I felt like I couldn't directly connect with the pain and the sense of anger that people were going out there protesting for. And I felt like on this occasion, it was something that resonated so much with me that it felt different. It felt right. It felt like there was an internal sense of anger, sense of happiness and however many people coming out with us, and sense of pride in kind of this new generation of Black Britain that isn't afraid to call people out. I recognized that actually this protest for me wasn't about me shouting out all of my grievances, but it was about the power of us standing out and stepping out for the people that couldn't. The message became really, really clear, clean and short. Today I march for those in the Grenfell Tower who had their voices taken away from them. You'd look at that message and you almost felt like the life had been sucked out of you. You almost felt guilty that you were going out, because going out in itself was a privilege. I remember taking that banner and I drew it on a piece of cardboard and I sent it to my friend. He was an illustrator, Federico Magnasse. And he said, wow, like, it's really powerful. I want to be able to help illustrate this. I want to be able to help bring it to life. And so he took pretty much my words and my designs and he just drew it up and said, you need to frame this up and you need to take this and you need to not say anything. You just hold it up. And I remember taking it. I did exactly as he said. We got to Parliament Square and I held it up. And all I could remember was people had looked at the message and they couldn't ignore it. It was almost like, rah, like, there are people who can't be here because their lives were taken away from them. And that's an incredibly powerful thing for us to remember and for us to carry with us. We're not just walking for ourselves. We're walking for all of those who couldn't be there. We're walking for the elderly who were, you know, kept away because of COVID. The people in the Grenfell Tower, Stephen Lawrence, Elly Majinga, walking for so many people who had their voices snatched. It became about what our collective voice represented. And so, yeah, it was weird. I was there with my friend and so many people kept looking at it, wanting to take a picture. I met somebody who knew a relative at Grenfell and they saw it and they said, thank you, their voices needed to be heard and they need to be remembered today. And I remember coming back home that day and thinking, what can we do to make everybody realize that these people need to be remembered right now? And we thought, let's make this into prints and let's see how much money we can raise for Grenfell United.
And that's just what they did. Within 24 hours, Calvin had raised £1,000 for charity. In this section, he talks a bit more about what he aimed to achieve through selling the posters.
Let's take the message and keep it in people's houses so that when they walk past it every day, it reminds them to have these progressive conversations. We want these messages to infiltrate households because people are so good at keeping core messages out of internal conversations, and that's why they don't learn. But actually, if you bring in really powerful messages that bring to light communities that need to have coverage in a way that people can have and hold up in their own rooms, in their own houses, it becomes easier for them to start having these conversations in their friendship groups, to start thinking about actively the victims of Grenfell and making it a normalized part of British history, because the burning of that tower is a part of British history, whether Britons like it or not. And we have to learn how to accept that. And we have to learn how to ensure that nothing like that happens again.
He also shares the thought process behind the 5 additional prints, which featured the likes of Marcus Rashford, Raheem Sterling and Lewis Hamilton.
We wanted to create a set of portraits that could speak to the achievements of some key people within the Black British community and how they hold our community up with pride, but also how their messages are so important now. Coming from a sporting background, I thought it was something that I could spread a message about race and about the importance of race within a football community that can seem either really progressive or incredibly archaic. And I think we saw that in the range of anti-protesters that came to Parliament Square. Parliament Square, if you look at them, they're all actually just, you know, your hooligan England fans that have such a bad reputation across Europe anyways, that, you know, would protest against players taking a knee and will protest against this idea of, putting race on the agenda, but will still wear a Raheem Sterling number 7 shirt or celebrate when Rashford scores for their team. I think very much anti-protests and anti-sentiment against race come from disparities or grievances within class and within a level of class. So if you saw, for example, the response to Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter, the All Lives Matter sentiment was actually, we're poor, we're from working class backgrounds, our lives matter as well. And so we shouldn't be saying Black Lives Matter, but actually Black Lives Matter speaks to race. It's about Black lives. It's about the racial disparities that exist further to class disparities. The Rashford image got the best response, and is still kind of growing in terms of its relevancy now. The idea that, you know, a man 21, 22 could make a government provide a whole U-turn and another one, as well as getting an MBE and securing a hell of a lot of funding for a lot of young people going through food poverty in our society. We got a really good response from some of the key pages that we've been working with. So your Copper 90s, your Mundials, your Soccer Bibles, Football Beyond Borders, like those pages really, really galvanized and help us spread the message far and wide. We've raised a total of 11K so far, 8K going to the Grenfell United, 3K going to the Black Curriculum. We've raised quite a bit of money, but we want to continue. It's been a mad few months considering we started all of this in August. It's pretty mad, actually. Lewis Hamilton ended up reposting the picture of the Grenfell print on his page. And so that like really, really boosted the traction and boosted the amount of orders. And it had meant that we had been able to, you know, hit our initial target, but also create traffic and keep people kind of interested in the new prints that had come out since. So what's next? I'm going to continue working with a range of different illustrators that have different styles and different subject areas that they're working to. There's a couple that I really, really want to do, one on mental health, Black mental health in particular, and then an illustration to celebrate the Black LGBTQ community. We're very, very excited to be working with two really, really talented illustrators within each of those spaces that have a unique perspective on those areas and that can help really, really, yeah, drive the messaging home. What history has taught us and what this year definitely taught me is that when we come together, our voice is louder than ever.
So that was the first episode of Create Change. I really hope you enjoyed listening to Kelvin's story. I found it particularly interesting when he said that we make history every day, because if you think about it, it's actually true. To find out more about the prints that Kelvin produced and to get your own, head over to theseillustrationsmatter.com. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time with an episode featuring Jana V. Innes, a designer whose work weaves together Black British history.
Throughout my education, I don't really feel like I was taught much about Black British history. I think in secondary school, the main thing I learned about was the Windrush period, which is why I wanted to create something that changes this and that allows people to begin to learn about Black British history and all of the different stories and our legacies.